We're on up until now, last week, we learned about, Rav Teichl described the order of the Mashiach, how we really thought that Mashiach was coming no matter what, no matter what we did, and when Mashiach came, it would all be, you know, straightforward, it would be one fell swoop, he would come and save us. And Rav Teichl initiated the idea, he suggested the idea that that's not true at all. That there's a process of tshuva, but before you can have the process of tshuva, your heart has to be softened. And the way that God softens your heart is through suffering. And after the suffering, then Eliyahu can come, and Eliyahu is only effective after you suffered, because then you'll listen to him. Because if Eliyahu came and you hadn't suffered, you wouldn't care what he had to tell you. And then, he says, when Eliyahu can convince you to do tshuva, right, then you do tshuva, and then Mashiach will come. But he added another point. He said the only time, the only way that the divine Shefa, the way he put it, the divine influence or divine inspiration can come upon us, is in Eretz Yisrael. And he says it's actually explicit in the Torah that Mashiach, that in the process of Mashiach, first we have to come to Eretz Yisrael, and then God can bestow his divine benevolence, goodness, / pour his spirituality upon us, and then Mashiach will come. Meaning, Rav Tachta believed, he says, I now come to the conclusion that in order for Mashiach to come, we have to first go to Eretz Yisrael. Which is a total upending of what we thought beforehand, because we thought, we always believed, that when Mashiach comes, he will bring us to Eretz Yisrael. Comes Rav Teichl and says, no. Mashiach will only come when you go to Eretz Yisrael, and only after that can you do real tshuva, and only after that can you come back. Yes? I answered your question?
No, he did.
What?
He did.
Wait, you want to tell another
joke? No, I was just going to ask if God's going to soften our hearts, or if the hardship softens our hearts. According to this,
hardships doesn't. God softens our hearts through the hardships that He brings upon us. Okay, now we're in Pevav in the middle. Ve'ata, now. So He has said this, and now He's actually going to repeat it. If we get through this quickly enough, He's going to repeat. He's going to share with us some actually fascinating and frightening quotes from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And then, when all is said and done, if we have enough time, we'll get to my favorite vart, probably my favorite thing in the entire Eim of Adam Smecha. Yeah, we probably won't get to that today. What?
Pharaoh. His heart was softened.
Hardened. Softened
by the hardships. And therefore Hashem hardened his heart.
Ah.
Trying to even out the balance. How come we don't get even out the balance?
I don't understand. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tshuva. Okay. He didn't want prior to do tshuva. Okay. Vata Baruch Hashem v'tir'eh. Come in the God's, in the blessed name of God, and see Kimasha Katavti. That which I wrote, Ruach Tahara Ye'areh Hashem Aleinu Davka B'Shuveinu U'Biyoteinu B'Eretz Yisrael, that will be poured upon us specifically when we return to Eretz Yisrael. V'lo B'Yoteinu Yoshvim B'Eretz Hamim, and it won't happen while we are in the Golah, in the exile. Mefurash B'Divrei HaNavi Yechezkel. It's explicit in the words of Yechezkel, the Amar, who he said, V'lakachti Yatchem Min Hagoyim, I will take you from the nations. V'ki Basi Yatchem Mikol Ha'artzot, I will gather you from all the land. And I will bring you to your land. And I will pour upon you the purifying waters, and you will become purified from all of your impurities. He's continuing with the Navi. And I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit I'll put in your midst. And I'll take away the heart of stone in from your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart of meat. And I will split up, put my spirit inside you. And you will follow my statutes and my laws. And you will dwell in the land that I gave to your forefathers. And you will be a nation to me. And I will be a God to you. I'd come to show no. Hare, migram mefurash. If you follow the order of the pasuk, dirak achare bo'enu le'eretz avoteinu, only after we come to the land of our forefathers, then nizkech shimon l'shem b'levavenu. Then we will marry that God will circumcise our heart. La'avah l'uto, la'avdo b'chol l'vavenu, libenu b'chol nafshenu. So if you look at the pasuk, he says it's explicit. God says, I will take you and gather you from the exiles. I will bring you to your land, and then I will purify you. Meaning, you know,
I will do it to you, not you will do it just now.
Correct, 100%. And then I will purify you. But then, the idea being that the purification will not happen until we come back to Eretz Yisrael. It's just
that it's also quite clear that we're not coming back on our accord. What it says.
Certainly seems like it. You're going to be as literal later on.
What?
If you're going to be as literal. For the other part of the pasuk.
Okay. How is Rav Tachta saying we're coming back to Eretz Yisrael? You're right. So how is God bringing us back to Eretz Yisrael?
He's making you suffer.
Correct. That's exactly the point. He doesn't have a problem with that. He says, I'll make you suffer, and then I will bring you back, one way or another. And we're going to get to that later on. I'll bring you back. You want to do it my way? Great. You want to do it your way? Great. Whatever. Not so great. The Chassam Sofer in the Drashos writes the following. This whole section in Yechezkel is speaking about before the complete redemption. When we are in the exile, nonetheless, God will have compassion after that we suffer the brunt of the sufferings, to bring us to our land. And then God will pour upon us this purifying spirit. And give us this new heart. I'm going to quote for you directly the Chatam Sofer's words. And you will say, this spiritual holy land became like a Gan Eden. And these destroyed cities, Bitsurot Yashav, they will become fortified cities again. Then the Yadu Agom nations will know, Ki Ani Hashem Baniti Inarasot, that I am God, I built, they destroyed. Natati Hanashama, Ani Hashem Dibarti Vyasiti, I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I have done. What we learn from this is, what's fascinating is, the Chatam Sofer said, even while we're still in Gola, nonetheless, even when there's not Geula Shlema, the process of Gehula will still begin. What's most amazing about this?
That's what's happening.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I mean, the trick is the Chatam Sofer said it long, 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 long time before it happened. It's easy to look back now and say, oh yes, it's the process of Gehula. We just say, well, you can't have the process of Gehula. You either have Gehula or you don't have the Gehula. Wrong. The Chatam Sofer said exactly that. You could have the beginning of Gehula where you're still in Galut, but nonetheless, you have the beginning of the process of the Geula. He said the following: Shaita Gan Eden. It is a Gan Eden. Shehu Tanuga Yoter Gadol. It is the greatest pleasure. Umikol Makom. Ein Adam Zochel Ze Alite Yisurim Tchila. You get it. How do you get Gan Eden? Through suffering. Hachinami Achar Shasavam Ditzerot Yoshiyin Hashem. After we suffered, God will save us. He says, if that happens when there's complete redemption, whoop-dee-doo. I don't know if he says that way. That's not such a big deal. What's the big deal about God saying, when I redeem you totally, it's going to be Gan Eden? That's not a big deal. Aval va'ani betocha gola. But he's saying, no, it's not going to be the way. I will be in the midst of the exile. Umikol makom. And nonetheless, yiromeim Hashem keren amo. God will elevate the horn of his nation. This is the divine omnipresence for the good. And this is the destroyed land became like a Gan Eden. After they suffered sufferings, Hoshiim Hashem, God saved them. And this is in the time when the cities are fortified. Because in the time of complete Geula, Yishlam doesn't need to be protected. Right? It can be unfortified. Amnam ata, but now biyutam od begalut bein ha'amim hem bebechinat betzurot. I think we could all understand that. Today, did the Geula come? No, because if the Geula came, would we have to have Iron Dome? Would we have to worry about protecting our children? Would we have to worry about border crossings? No, because Mashiach came. All peace. Everybody loves us. Nonetheless, so we're at a time where we have to have...
I don't know the words there. I mean, here at least.
What?
You know, that we're ruined, the cities that were ruined, decimated, destroyed, being fortified.
Being fortified, but that's exactly his point. When Mashiach comes, you're going to need fortified cities? Really?
No.
Right. I mean, at least, at the very least, in our vision of Messiah, in the Messianic age, one would hope that people would stop trying to kill each other. Or at least our enemies would stop trying to kill the Jewish people because they would want to see us as a conduit to God. Right? So there's no big chiddush, there's no big surprise to say that when Mashiach comes, no, thank you. When Mashiach comes, then we're going to be in, it doesn't make sense to say when Mashiach comes, we're going to be in fortified cities. So it says we're going to be in fortified cities. Wait, this is before Mashiach came, but we're in Gan Eden. How can it be Gan Eden, but before Mashiach comes? So he says the answer is, it's halfway. It's a process. Sorry, process. Thank you. It happens over a period of time. Right? And this is different than what we originally believed. We always thought it was one fell swoop. He says, no. It's a process of redemption. They're galut, but they're still in their fortified cities. People looked at the Chacham Sofer, or at least they looked at Rav Teichmann and said, you're nuts. What are you, crazy? How could you be in Galut and still be in Eretz Yisrael? When we get to Eretz Yisrael, it'd be Geula. Chacham Sofer said, and Rav Teichmann is saying, no, it's not true. There's an interim step. And they said, we don't want that kind of Geula. And Rav Teichmann said, it's what it is. Come today, people say, what do you mean, that's Geula? That's redemption? Right? The state of Israel is redemption? We fight about this all the time. The answer is, it's not the ultimate redemption, but it's a process in redemption. Well, we don't want that. You sure you do. That's what it is. Right? You want it to be all, you know, all fireworks and, no, you don't want fireworks. You want it to be, you know, rosy and wonderful, like the, you know, state of Israel parade and everybody comes and it's wonderful. Could have been that, we're going to see. It's not what you chose. So it's the other way. You don't like that Geula? Well, you should have chosen the other way. Which you could have done. And we'll get there. It looks like we will get there today. Okay. Mizeh v'avinu v'yedu. You should know. Ki Hashem yitbarach hu ha-moshiyah la'amo michol tzaratam. God is the one who saves his nation from all of their sufferings. Hu ha-mesir gonam v'anchotam. He removes their sighing and their woeing. V'nefashot agumim yismach l'tova. And their desperate souls, that the souls will rejoice. Amen. Akan tvar v'kadoshin. That's the end of the Chasam Sofer. Hooray. Behold. Moshe Safra Rabba Omer Kain. Moshe Safra Rabba. Okay, that's a play on words. Okay, Moshe the great scribe. Why is that a play on words? The Chatam Sofer's name was Rabbi Moshe Sofer. Get it? So Moshe the great scribe, Rabbi Moshe Chatam Sofer, says, Dinevuazu medaberet mikodem ha-geula. This prophecy predicts, is speaking about before the redemption, Shakadosh Baruch Hu yavi otanu le'eretz Yisrael. God will bring us to Israel through his great dominion, divination. Al yidei shluchav v'sibotav, through his messengers and his causes. She'esavev lanu achar tzarot she'avu eleinu, that will force us after the pains which we suffer. V'nasem Eretz Yisrael gan Eden. We will turn Eretz Yisrael into a gan Eden. Ubiyoteinu shama, and when we are there, Yizrok aleinu ruach tahara, he will pour upon us this spirit of purification. La'avdo b'levav shalem. Harei, behold, shekivanti al ha'emet, b'dvarim shekatav l'ilel. I was mechaving to the truth. Di yeshivatenu po ba'avir eretz ha'amim, me'akevet aleinu l'kaber ruach tahara amim arom. We cannot do complete redemption because we are now sitting in Budapest, Hungary. I mean, think about it. Everything he said came absolutely true, except one piece. And if you look around us, right, you know, what was their vision of Gan Eden? You know what I'm saying? Okay, we have to work. It's a pain in the neck. But really, you know, if you look around the fields and you look around the country as it's being built, right? Is there wars? Yes, we need Arim Bitzurot. But nonetheless, have we, can you hear me? Chumash? Do you have Chuvah Yikra with Rashi? Like, if you look at the environment in which we find ourselves today. Right? This is the manifestation of so many of the brachot. You know, it's almost Gan Eden in a sense. The only thing we're missing in Gan Eden, other than Gan Eden,
peace.
Right? Sorry, the only two things, we're missing one more thing. Beit HaMikdash. It's very interesting. Who asked me this? My son? My daughter? Ah, no. Somebody else. They were visiting. And they said,
that's the only difference between...
Why do we want the Beit HaMikdash? Child. This is a really good question. Why do we want the Beit HaMikdash? Everything's good now. Why do we want the Beit HaMikdash? So you want the Shechina to dwell in our midst. Tell me if this applies. Hisig lechem daish et batzir, ubasir yasig et zara. Right? One crop will run into the other crop, and the other crop will run into the third crop. Va'achaltem lach mechem lasova. You will have plenty to eat. You will be satiated. V'yishatem labetach le'artzechem. And you will dwell securely in your land. You don't dwell securely in your land? You go to sleep scared at night? Honestly.
About three boys.
What?
Kind of.
Not three boys, you know what I mean. Do you? You don't?
What? Go to sleep scared?
Yeah, you don't go to sleep scared, right? Do we? No.
But we're here.
When Atati Shalom
Baretz. People who aren't here.
Hold on a second. There's peace in the land. Is there peace? Of course there is. You think. See. Everybody has this idea of peace being this utopian ideal where everybody gets along. You know what the Torah calls peace?
Like a war.
That's right. Where your enemies don't attack you. You know why they don't attack you?
They do attack
you. Well, because they're scared of you. They try minimally. Do our enemies largely attack us?
No, but that's not what's described as peace. The lines
one second. Uredavtem et oyveichem v'naflu lifneichem l'charev. Right, you will chase your enemies and they will fall before you by the sword. Anybody check the, I mean, we don't play a numbers game, but you check the numbers game the last time they tried to fight us? Okay? Okay. One second. I just go on. The thing we're missing is, v'italachti betochechem, v'italachem eloki, v'atem tiuli lam. That's what we're missing. Wait, but other than that...
There are no poor people in the country?
What?
There are no poor
people. Who said there's no poor people?
Who says there's going to be lots to eat?
Is there lots to eat?
If you are not poor, there's lots to eat.
Is anybody starving to death?
Yes.
Really?
I think that's
come on.
Very, very serious.
Are people hungry? Yes. Are there institutions and organizations and even government subsidies to feed those people? Is anybody starving to death? That's why I never understood. I mean, if you're listening to this in the United States, there are all these statistics in the United States about how like 20% of the people in the United States go to sleep hungry every night. Are you familiar with such statistics? I never, it didn't make any sense to me at all. There's no place in the world that's cheaper, food is cheaper and more abundant than in America. It didn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. Okay. But nonetheless, pretty much if you read through all the brachot in Bechukotai, they're all there now. What do we, they're all there, pretty much every single one. Except, what, you don't see it?
No, I agree with you 100%. I promise the waters we need to suffer.
What's that?
Why did you need to go through the suffering? If you're going to do all these miracles, the two parts don't fit together.
To get us to want to return, otherwise we would not have come back.
No, but now we're back.
Oh, now you're back.
Ah, so there's one thing, very good. The one thing we're missing. He was right about every single thing. Abel the Gan Eden of Arim B'Tzurot. Would it not be fair to say that we live in a walled Gan Eden, our fair city? It's got a wall around it. Got a shomer, it's not a great shomer, but at least he goes like this, you know, when you come in. Does he do that to you? Come in at night to shomer?
No.
No? He ignores you?
He doesn't even do that.
Okay.
He just gets up.
What?
He gets up.
At least he looks. Okay, we live in a walled city, in our little Gan Eden, correct? Only thing we're missing is, and now the thing he's missing, he says, when that happens, then, Yizrok alinu ruach tahara, la'avdo ve'levav shalem. We're missing that piece.
Maybe that's what
the smell is. But that piece doesn't come from us.
What is it? That comes from God.
Yizrok alein.
Right. So and then the question becomes, how? Where does this Ruach Tahara come?
What do you do to influence that?
Well, in general, when God wants us to repent, how does it happen? Survey says. Yeah, no, it ain't good. Right, that's the trick. We don't want the Ruach Tahara, the way he describes the Messianic process. How's the Messianic process? God will coerce you to repent, but that can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, when the suffering happens outside of Eretz Yisrael, we don't get it. We don't feel the benevolence of God. We don't get that spirituality. So therefore, we suffer, and for whatever reason, it doesn't click, the engine doesn't start. Because the Shefa, the Ruach HaTahara, the spirit of purification, can infuse us in Eretz HaAmin. But in Eretz Yisrael, it can't. But what's the trigger of the engine? What's the gasoline to light the fire? Sadly, suffering. Which is a little How should we say this?
True.
Pressing? Meaning we're here. We're ready for the Shefa Elohim. So there's two ways to bring about mass repentance on the part of the people. Way one is somehow we convince all of them to repent. We show them the way. We act the way we're supposed to. Likelihood of way one succeeding in your mind, Ari? Give me a little.
Wait a second.
Give me something.
Wait a second.
Zero.
Yes.
He's also clear that.
Way two. Yes. What's way two?
No, Eliyahu Navi is supposed to come.
Yeah, when does he come?
Well, where is he?
Whoa. When is Eliyahu coming?
After suffering.
He's coming,
we had the
when we're ready to listen to him.
No, after the suffering, when our heart is suffering.
One second. But Rav Taich felt exactly, that was exactly his point. He said, why couldn't he come? We suffered already. He said, you know why? That's right.
How many wars do we need?
You don't like that, huh?
No.
Well, what do you want?
How many wars do we need to go through?
Well, apparently one more. Sorry. I never really understood what he was saying until now. I've read this 3 or 4 times at least. Now I get it. I mean, that's the sequence. That explains why Eliyahu Navi wouldn't come when we were in Galut. The whole point of the Galut was to force us to come to Eretz Israel. We came to Eretz Israel because the Tshuva...
1,000 years ago.
I don't understand. Why do you think you're supposed to understand that?
Because we're trying to understand everything. He's trying to...
He doesn't explain...
Every stage. Why can't we understand that?
You want to know why it couldn't happen 1,000 years ago? I don't know.
If it's all through suffering, if it's all through this negative process that is going to turn us around, it's going to bring us, you know, take the bad and make it good.
I think he would argue that each progressive push was a push to try to return us to Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, he would say, I think he would say, remember he says, why do we suffer? He says explicitly, why do we suffer? Because God wants us to return to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want us to be where we are. But each time we endured suffering, and what did we do? Where do we go? Somewhere else. So then each time, I mean, it's almost like birth pangs. I would say lahavdil, but it's not lahavdil. That's exactly what they call them. Chevle Mashiach. Right? As all of you have witnessed with your wives. Right? At each progressive, the womb wants to expel, wants to get this, the ubar, wants to get the uterus, not the uterus, wants to get the uterus, wants to get the child out to where it's supposed to be. Okay? So what does it do? It pushes. That push causes pain. But when it doesn't work, what does it do? It pushes harder. And it keeps pushing harder. And more pain. What was different which time?
This time.
I don't know. You tell me.
Why didn't they
I don't understand what you were struggling with.
If
why was it this time? Why did we come
God
this time?
God is going to make it happen. If God is going to push us.
He didn't force us.
And he could have pushed us 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And we could have had 2,000 years of Gan Eden.
Yeah. He didn't force us.
We
could
have been healed for 2,000 years.
Some of free will here.
And I would argue...
Because you think now it's free will?
Yeah. I would argue.
Doesn't change anything.
I would argue, especially when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is one of those very few things that God doesn't force upon us. He forced us to take the Torah. He didn't ask us. Eretz Yisrael is one of those, like you see it a number of times. I think that it strikes me so much. V'yomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha, v'aretzcham v'ladetcham v'etavicha v'aretz asher v'echa. What's that lecha doing? Right? So, what does Rashi say? Lecha. What does that mean when Rashi says go la'anatcha for your own good? Simply, what does it mean?
You'll do better.
I think I always understood it in the context of another lacha that appears in the Torah. Can anybody tell me? Where does that appear, that language of lacha appear in another total different context in the Torah? Shlach lecha anashim. What does Rashi say on shlach lecha anashim?
I'm not telling you to do it.
What?
I'm not telling you to do it. If you have to do it for yourself, do it.
That's exactly right. Isn't that interesting? Why isn't it shlach lecha l'hanatcha l'tovatcha like Rashi? And it's all of a sudden, whoa, that lecha is not good. The answer is that they both go together.
No,
you decide. This is one of those mitzvot that God never forces us to do. Isn't that interesting?
But there is something else. So that
something about Israel that either you do it or you don't.
The Jews were in Galus form before the Holocaust, 1300 years.
More.
But that's the first time that they could practically come back.
That's not true.
No?
No. Really? The first time before the Holocaust they could practically come back?
I'm not a mumche, but I'm saying, is that...
It was comfortable for them? It was easy for them?
Well, in Chutzlars, it was never easy for them. But
correct. I'm saying at the turn of this 20th century, it was easy for the Jews to return. They came in welcoming with welcome arms. The Ottomans, the Turks wanted them. The British wanted them. Nobody wanted them. Was it? The question really is interesting. Was it easier then than it would have been 200 or 400 or 800 years earlier? It's hard to know. What? Yeah, you could. I mean, you could physically travel. You could physically travel. But the question isn't a question. Meaning, you could argue. One could argue about the Balfour Declaration and the Declaration, but that's all a chicken and an egg. Remember, why? Because it was already after the rebuilding of the Yishuv.
But it's also that they asked for a homeland. They wanted
it. From when? When?
But they want... What?
Who asked for a homeland?
Now.
Herzl,
when?
Now.
1898.
How many Jews were living in Israel in 1898?
No,
but I'm saying, after the Spanish Inquisition, after any of the times, when did we ever say we wanted a homeland? Maybe we just need to ask.
That's exactly the point. And no, we didn't need to ask. I don't think Artecha would say that. I don't think he would say we need to ask. We need to go. But instead of going there, we settled in England or Germany or Poland or someone else. Very few people. Not enough. And he would probably have argued and said, we could have cut it short. And really, I think he says the same thing, doesn't he? He says it's an indictment on the Jewish people. Very strong indictment. Because the Khuzari comes in and says, if you guys love your land so much, like, you know, how come you didn't go there? And he says, I don't know, good question. You got me on that one. If it's so important to you. So Rav Tachta would say, yes, God, every time you say to me, how come God waited 1,000 years? You know what God is saying? How come you waited 1,000 years? Well, you want me to start the process? No. You start the process and I'll make sure it happens. Not easy, I'll make sure it happens. Haraya, when we did start the process, somehow it happened. You don't like that?
No.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's a very fair criticism in a sense. It's not a fair criticism. What? Right. It's almost like it's a group mentality. It's some. How did the group mentality switch to such a degree that they said that the Jews finally said, you know, we gotta go to, like, we gotta get out of here? Why did it happen to a group of mainly secular Jews, really secular Jews, nationalistic Jews? More than did it happen another time? It's a very interesting, difficult question. But it didn't happen before that. And it's interesting to know that until Jews returned to the land, for whatever reason, it didn't happen. So says Rav Teichtal, we started coming back. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will give it into your hearts to make you want to return, and I'm going to force you to come back, and you will come back. But understand, all of those periods of pain and suffering, they cannot complete the process. Why? Because tshuva can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. Real tshuva. Appreciating the Ruach HaTahara can only happen in Eretz Yisrael. Where are we time-wise? How am I doing? Really? What time is it? 1:45. Okay. 22. We're on Pei Zion in the middle. But that doesn't really bode well for us unless we can somehow get everybody to do tshuva. And Ari's not optimistic. V'halom ra'iti b'orachayim ha'kadosh.
It's my fault.
I wouldn't blame you only. Shekatav gam kein mamash kedivrei Rabbeinu Chasam Sofer. There's amazing Or HaChaim in Parshat Tzav. I do some writing, so I came across this Or HaChaim this year. It's incredible stuff. He said the Or HaChaim is commenting on the Trumat Hadeshen, the removal of the ashes. That's in here. The removal of the ashes from the Mizbeach after the sacrifice. When there's a mitzvah, some korbanot, some sacrifices are burned on the Mizbeach, like Korban Ola is burned on the Mizbeach. So it's burned totally, and then once the animal is consumed by the fire, probably takes a while, right? Then there's something called Trumat HaDeshen, the removal of the ashes of the Korban. That's also a mitzvah, it has to be removed properly. So he says the following, D'achar tokef hatzarot shia avru aleinu, after the pressure of the pain that has passed over us, Yavi otanu l'eretz hakadoshai, should bring us to the Holy Land. V'zeh l'shano b'pasuk, this is the language of the verse, this is what Or HaChaim says on the pasuk, U'pashar d'gadav v'lavash b'dir mechavim, the Kohen, who has to take out this trash, this holy trash, right, he has to remove this ashes, he takes off those clothes, and he wears different clothes, V'otzi el makom tahor, and he takes it out to a holy place. Liyot shebegadim arishonim, says Or HaChaim, the first clothes, heim la'asot mishpat ba'osei ra'atenu. Those are the clothes of justice to those who have done evil to us. V'achshav ba lehitiv, and now comes the hitiv to do good to us. L'hotzi'enu migalut, to return us from galut, u'lehitiv otanu, and to do good to us. So what, in his analogy, you'll see in a second, but in his analogy, what is the ashes? What does the korban that's burnt up represent? Anyone? Bueller? The ashes represent, the korban represents the Jewish people who have suffered on the crucible, the altar of the non-Jews, and now God has to remove them from the fire and bring them to a holy place, which is Eretz Yisrael. V'zeh yulbash b'day b'chinat ha'atavah, so wear new clothes. Ki lo ya'akev kibbutz galuyot, for the gathering of the exiles will not be held back, ad kilot tosei rishon, until the destruction of those who do bad. Elatikev umiyad, but immediately yikabetsi futzotzeinu, we will be gathered. Yotzi otano, we will remove us. Ela makom tahor, hi eretz Yisrael ha-torah, to bring us to the holy place, Eretz Yisrael. Ki eretz ha-akum hi tmea, because the land of the nations is impure. Va'afara, va'afilu avira, it's dirt, it's air. Ve'en lachom makom shikrat tahor zulat eretz ha-kadosha. There is no pure place other than this holy land. Ad kan lashon hakodesh. Umidiyya muchach lakodesh baruch hu demayar lotzi otanu midei reshem halalu. And since God is obliged to return us, to remove us from the midst of these evil people, terem yaseh kalav osei reshem before he destroys them, muchach must be demayim mikodem ha-geula shleim, as happened before the geula. Tebebiya et goel v'imheira b'yameinu, omen. When the Redeemer comes, shall be speedily in our days, amen. Lo yarei v'lo yashchitu ki adu, will not be totally destroyed. Al kofanim, nonetheless. Shnei nevi'im. These two prophets, the rabbi Zerah Chaim v'Chassam Sofer, mitnabim besignon echad, they prophesy, it's so interesting the way he says it. They're just writing a commentary on the Torah. He says, no, it's a prophecy. The achar tokef atzarot, after the strength, the power of the sufferings, yevi'enu Hashem b'ashkachato anifla'a l'Eretz Yisrael, God will bring us to Eretz Yisrael. U'pashut u'barur, this is obvious and clear, he says it's obvious to me and anyone else who's looking. This is talking about us and our generation. Anyways, va'agav omer od mashavidi borachaim akadosh. The Orachaim continues. Shemedaber sham yisurei hagalut shiru lanu begalot hazot. So he was talking about the Orachaim. Who is Orachaim? Orachaim is Rabbeinu Chaim. Rabbi Moshe ben Attar. In one of these things, I think in Bereshit, he gives you a little biography of who they are. Rabbi Chaim ben Moshe ben Attar, I'm almost positive, lived in Italy in the 16th century, maybe 15th century. So the Or HaChaim describes, he goes into this idea, this concept of the suffering of the Galut, and he says the following. Katab zeh lashon. Ve'omro, the Torah says, Ve'hirim et hadeshen, you shall lift up the ashes. Keneged ma shehiriu, that corresponds to the lehariot, the edi, that which was done negative to us. Bebchinat hayesurim, this is the matter of the suffering, va'inuyim, and the afflictions that tzareru otanu. V'imbata li'ot hu yoter migal mitzrayim, he says, I gotta tell you, it's worse than the exile in Egypt. Ki galut mitzrayim hayu mishabdim otam, u'machidim otam, u'malbishim otam. Fine, in Egypt, yes, they subjugated them, but at least they fed and clothed them. Remember the Jewish people, they're in the desert and they're kvetching, so what do they say? Oh, remember the fish, remember the watermelon, remember how good it was in Egypt, right? So what does that tell you? Chinam ayu ochlim hakol. They were eating everything for free. Meaning, yeah, sure, they lacked freedom. They were subjugated, but at least they were fed. At least they had what to eat. Because the Egyptians knew you can't enslave somebody and not feed them. Henga, b'henga, luti shmailim. He says, but this Ishmaelite exile that we're in, Ashrei mishalo ra'a mishabdim umerarim chaye Yisrael. Fortunate is he who has not seen the exile that embitters the lives of the Jews. It's not enough that they don't pay us. It translates, would they borrow from us?
They rob a man.
Yeah, read on.
They rob a man of what he has.
No, before that, right before that. They ask from us.
They enslave and the lives of the Jews, coming to withhold wages, but they levy heavy taxes upon
them. Ah, okay. Madod v'aveh, I didn't have that in translation. But oh, Adam nigzal mimashiyesh, they steal what you have. Ve'imtobi mimenu mashayimlo. And they claim what you don't have. Because ze yashkehu ad shiyamut. Right? And they make you drink this bitter cup until you die. You know what it's like? You know what it reminds me of? That guy in Tunisia. You know what I'm talking about? A guy set himself on fire and started the Arab Spring. This is what they do. They corrupt. I mean, they do it themselves too. They rob you and they rob you and they rob you and they rob you. And when they're done robbing you and they can't rob you anymore, then what do?
Put you on fire.
They rob you some more. Right? It's total corruption. Total. And they just take advantage of the Jew. Mamish kol ze naaseh imanu v'yameinu od b'migdah gdolah mizeh. He says, I'm telling you, this. We see this here in our days, i.e. in our Tashnal's days, but we have it worse. Aval pelali al rabbeinu. He says, it's a wonder the Orachayim. Shemidvarav nirashu rak hasharat atzmo. It seems like the way he writes it, he says, it's his own sort of like evaluation, his own estimation. L'hagdil galotenu sha'ata agalu mitzrayim mikof hasharahana. That it was his idea to say that it's worse now than it was in Mitzrayim. V'ech lo helal sfatav gdashot shu yushamim mefresh v'sukah. He says, I got to tell you, it's an explicit Yerushalmi. Kasheh shibudan shel galut v'shibud mitzayim. The shibud of galut is worse than shibud mitzayim. The b'shibud mitzayim ra'a Moshe et ha-mer merkava b'b'chinat levena. Moshe saw the merkava as it was in the b'china of levena. I don't know, the brick? What does he say? The b'china of, I don't know, this is Kabbalistic stuff. Chidichtiv v'livna. Chidichtiv v'tachad v'aglav k'maseh livna tasapir. And under God's feet was the action, it was like the makings of Livnat HaSapir.
The likeness of sapphire.
Sapphire likeness. Yechezke ra'a merkava kema be'evin sapir. Yechezke ra'a like a stone. Ve'evin kashem levena ayyadesh ayin jam. Look it up there. I don't get it. Okay. Harei. Shekvar b'tein ba'le ashasir gishu. The rabbis understood. They felt. Bekosh yagalut yotem galim utrayim. Each successive exile becomes progressively worse. Ayin jam gam yushami. He writes down all of the pain and suffering. Even the small of smalls. Even the degradation they do. He writes it all down. God will take claim back from them. The Jews' claims. Nonetheless, so he just says a nice aside. It was like, I don't know, it's a nice, a powerful aside about the sufferings of the Galut and the way it's described by the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and the Chumash. And he says, what he wrote, that's nothing compared to what we see. Because the exiles get worse and worse and worse. Nonetheless, from this we emerge. He says, I am convinced, positively, both in Chatam Sofer and also the Or HaChaim, that they believed that in order for the Mashiach to come, we first would have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. That without our prompting the situation, the tshuva movement could never properly begin. Only then could the tshuva movement really properly begin, and God could pour His spiritual pouring out. And I guess, as we'll soon see, we'll see it this time, right? The goal. Maybe we'll see it this time. What do you want to stop early, or you want to go? What?
9 o'clock's
fine. The goal is to try to get it to the point where the process, as we're going to see, it happens not with suffering. And it's not that God wants us to suffer.
But Ketiyat Mitzrayim was done in Chutz La'aretz. It seems a bit far-fetched, sorry.
What? That God can't or won't?
But Rav Tach was like stretching the story to suit the fact.
What do you mean? stretching the story to suit the facts.
We're suffering now so that we'll go back, but when we go... It just doesn't...
What? I don't understand. Okay, think about it. I think I understand what you're saying, meaning he's looking at the situation and trying to explain it more than looking at the sources and saying, how do I think it's going to be? That's without a doubt true. I mean, what do you want from the guy? You know what I mean? But at the same time, the Chassam Sofer did say what he says. And I think Yitziat Mitzrayim was, by definition, a unique, once-in-a-history event. Yes, did God reveal himself?
It's the same historical significance as his death in Israel, I guess so. It's not like just another little redemption that happens on the side.
At least.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's leave Yitziat Mitzrayim out of it. Because Yitziat Mitzrayim was not the redemption. It was not the Geulah.
No.
What was the Geulah of Yitziat Mitzrayim?
Redemption.
No. I mean, after God got him out of Mitzrayim.
Oh, Mitzrayim.
No. That also is part of Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's all part of the same process. No. That's the exile. That's Mishibud. Right? But what's the completion of the redemptive process? Yeah. How did that happen?
It just happened.
Really?
40 years.
No, 40 years.
Why was it 40 years?
Why did they have to die?
They
weren't ready for it.
What do you mean they weren't ready?
They made a mistake.
Oops. What was their mistake?
Pretty big one.
What was their mistake?
The golden calf.
No. That's not why. No. Golden calf didn't stop him. No.
What was the Meraglim?
What was the mistake of the Meraglim? What did they say that was so bad that God said, you know what? You're all dead.
We're better off. Yeah.
What?
We're better
say
off.
That in another way.
We're grasshoppers.
No, that's not so bad. Okay. We're grasshoppers. Say it another way. We're better off.
America's
here.
Better.
We can strum off that in Carlos then.
Say it another way. I just want to hear you say it.
We're happy.
What's that? And? We're happy and?
We can work Hashem very nicely out here.
And?
We don't need Eretz.
We don't want to go. That's what they said. You know what God said? You don't want
to
go?
You don't have to.
No problem. Meaning, you're right. Up until a certain point, it was all God. But that stopped. In the Midbar. And from that point on, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, there's one thing I can't force upon you. And that is entering the Eretz Yisrael. You don't want to go? No problem. And anyone who said, I don't want to go, ain't going. Except Moshe, who didn't say it, and he got stuck with you. So that's the first one.
I got to stop.
Second one? Second? Second return? Sure, God forced them all to come back, right?
Not exactly.
Not exactly.
He told them they could, they didn't.
Correct. Third one? So wait. See a pattern here? Eretz Yisrael is the thing that God doesn't force the Jews to do. It's got to come from us. You want to be a
That's
people?
That's not true. It's right.
He didn't force them to come to Eretz Yisrael. He said,
I'll
kill you.
The 40 years, and then they go.
They wanted to go. They were chomping at the bit after 40 years. They were sick of the desert. The kids. And Moshe, all of Sefer Devarim, just read Sefer Devarim again. Moshe, the first part of Sefer Devarim is all about Moshe saying one thing. What's that? Don't chicken out. Go. And what they said to Moshe? You got it. Because they were the kids. They were not the adults. They were not the parents. So you understand what I'm saying? So you could say, yes, he's matching the facts to create his argument. But even independent of his facts, of what he's going through, the idea that redemption can only happen through the Jewish people wanting to return first, it's firmly rooted in history. There is no example you can tell me of somebody going to Eretz Yisrael being forced. You have to go. I'm forcing you to go. It doesn't work that way. You have to choose. You think it'll be the last one? No. And each time the Baruch brings suffering and he tells the Jews, where are you going to go? And for whatever reason, they always chose somewhere else. Until finally they choose here. If there's another exile, lo aleinu, God forbid, if there was another suffering in another country, where would they choose to go? Where would the Jews in South Africa go? They're already gone. Australia? Where would they go? I doubt they would head to America. You never know.
Some would.
Other than the Israelis, who would head to Boca Raton. That was cynical. I apologize. I take that back, Israelis. Where are they going to go? Do we come here? It's up to them. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that's most frightening to me. That you keep seeing the same pattern over and over again. It started in the Meraglim.
If it doesn't what? Happen this time.
What?
If it doesn't happen this time.
What do you mean this time? Which time?
If this isn't the time for Mashiach.
No, it is the time for Mashiach.
If we don't make it happen.
It is the time.
So what's the problem?
You've got a whole community of Jews that are not living in Eretz
Israel. Okay. So if they don't come.
What? If they don't come.
We lose it. Because we didn't get up and go.
The real question isn't...
And how long are you going to wait for it?
The real question isn't that. I think that we're beyond the point of no return. We're almost at the point where there's more Jews in Eretz Yisrael than anywhere else. This is an established fact. Baruch Hashem. You know, I have these arguments ongoing with my nephews. And I say to them, are you nuts? You're going back to Baltimore? Are you crazy? You feel safe over there? You have the Shomrim and Borough Park. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you, crazy? And he says, what are you, nuts? Here they're pointing guns at you. They've got nukes pointed at you. My answer to them is, right? What's that? That's not what I said. I said, at least we know who's shooting, who's pointing at us. And I've got an army pointing the other way. Baruch Hashem. But I really like, metaphysically, because of this learning, because of, you know what I'm saying? No, we don't really know what the plan is. Nobody knows what's going to happen. But just looking at the way Reb Teichtel describes it, the process is not good for people who make the wrong choice. It's not good. Chevelei Leida. They keep happening. And each time they get worse. And each time God says, you didn't choose? Bad choice. You went the wrong way. Again, you went the wrong way. Push you back. What are you going to choose next time? Where else is there to go? What's left? Luxembourg? Tried that. I haven't had a major Jewish... Argentina? Is that going to help you? Don't think so. All right, we'll stop here. We'll continue with Hashem next week.